If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 16. I'm going to read that to the end of the chapter, which is verse 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. What I've attempted to do, and maybe I haven't done a good job at explaining what we're doing, the past three more, starting in September, October, November, where we're doing a series. The overall series is Becoming an E-Church, and it has three legs. We just completed the first leg, which was Becoming an Equipping Church, and we talked about spiritual gifts, and we talked about how God empowers the body through His Spirit with a diversity of gifts. We've talked in the past about trying to find a way to help you discover and determine your gifts, and we're still going to do that. What's going to happen in the upcoming weeks is going to give you an opportunity to come and spend just a couple hours together going through the various and different spiritual gifts, and then giving you an assessment test, a pretty good assessment test that seeks to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are, and then talking about how we can incorporate your particular spiritual gifting here in the body of Christ at Reynoldsburg. We want everyone to be involved in that. We want everyone to have an understanding that in order for us to fulfill God's purposes for this church here in this community and abroad, everyone here has a part. Is that all right, church? Everyone here has a part, not just a few people, not just, you know, this side of the auditorium, but the whole body of Christ has a part in this. We're going to now begin the second leg of this series called Becoming an Evangelistic Church. And this is where we'll begin in the book of Matthew, starting at chapter 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." One of the marks of the restoration movement and our plight in Churches of Christ has been our passion for lost souls. We are eager to play a part in a lost one being converted and being deemed a saved one or a safe one. Consequently, when you look back in our history, you will find passionate and intentional attempts to reach the lost for Jesus. In the 1950s and 60s, Churches of Christ represented the fastest growing Christian church in America. This is due in part to these three reasons. One, there was a willingness by Christians in Churches of Christ to proceed out of the church meeting place into the neighborhoods to share the message of Jesus. People were eager to not keep their Christianity bottled up in the church building, but there was intentionality, there was passion about going into the neighborhoods and sharing the message of Jesus. Number two, Christians' efforts to share the simple message of the gospel was very attractive to the world at that time. People didn't want to hear a lot of mumbo jumbo. They wanted to hear simplicity. And what Christians did, they went out with a simple message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a simple call to read and study the Bible for yourself. There were many who were fed up with catechisms and with creeds and with all these type of church rules and regulations. And it was attractive to them to just hear someone say, "Just read the Bible for yourself." And number three, there was an overwhelming success in tent meetings, gospel meetings, and revivals. Several of you here, I'm sure, have been in a meeting with a guy in Woods or Jimmy Allen. We talked about Jimmy Allen several months ago, or Marshall Keeble. We talked about these ladies right here were baptized by Marshall Keeble. R.C. Wells, Jack Evans, all these great preachers in our brotherhood who did these tent meetings. And it wasn't, you know, uncommon for there to be 300, 400, 500 baptisms at these tent meetings. That is unheard of today. But that was something that was successful back in the 50s and 60s. And again, the Churches of Christ, we represented the fastest growing Christian church in America. In recent years, I hate to report that it's hard to find this fervor that we once had in the 50s and 60s. While there are numerous reasons for this, I want to offer a few of my own. Number one, we're afraid. We're afraid to share the message of Jesus because there are rules at the workplace and schools, rules in society that says you shouldn't talk about Jesus. We're afraid because we don't like rejection. We don't like to share something that we're passionate about and talk about it, and it's good for us for someone to say, you know what, I don't want any part of that. So there's a fear of rejection. Number two, we don't always know what to say or do. I don't think that any of us here doesn't want to bring people to Jesus. But I think what it boils down to is oftentimes we find ourselves in situations and positions to do that very thing. We just don't know what to say. Don't know what to do. Do I open up my Bible? Do I share church experience? Do I sing to them? I guess that depends on if you can sing or not, but number three, some of us have just got to a point where we said, we'll just let other people do it. Man, if it was up to me, I'd let Jay Collins do all the evangelizing for me. If you know Jay Collins, you know Jay is passionate about evangelism. You know he's passionate about talking to people about Jesus Christ. So just let Jay do it. He's good at it. I'm not. In light of our past and our present, what does the future hold for our evangelism? Now, evangelism simply means the sharing or you know, communicating of the good news. And in our context, the good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, or the gospel. Where are we headed in the 21st century seems to be pertinent questions. Let me say this. We are not short of resources when it comes to evangelism. I have a bookshelf dedicated, you know, 20, 30, 40 books almost on evangelism. And it seems that every book that you have in a religious context often has some element of evangelism in it. We are not short of resources. I took a pretty intensive class when I was in college on evangelism, and it was required for me to graduate. You couldn't, that wasn't an elective. You had to take biblical evangelism. The topic of evangelism is indeed an important one. And there are many gifted in the area who have written books, produced videos, and puts on seminars to teach about evangelism. There is a wealth of resources. So why are churches declining in numbers and converting less people? Some would say that the world and its views have so dominated the discussion that the church is fighting a losing battle. Seems like when it comes to our responsibility of what God has called us to do, we always find an outside source as a way to explain our deficiencies. This morning, I just want to simply challenge this body to reach back to Jesus and his simple commission. And in his commission, our charge is to go. In Jesus' commission to his disciples, and I would say a commission that is just as applicable to our plight today in our context here at Reynoldsburg or in this world, wherever church you go to, Jesus' call begins with a simple go. There has been a notion that once we enter into a passionate relationship with Jesus and take our part into the body of Christ, that we should somehow go into seclusion, that our lives in the body of Christ ought to be one that is represented by keeping ourselves away from the rest of the world. We get God's grace and mercy and love, and we just keep it to ourselves, and we just get into a family, and we just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Contrary to that notion is the very essence of Jesus' commission. And he tells his disciples in the imperative, go, get out and go. Go and do what? He says, go and make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not go and make churchgoers, not go and make Christ pretenders, not go and talk about how handsome the preacher is. I mean, you can keep doing that. Go. Now, what's interesting is that a man said that, but that's... Jesus said, go and make disciples, which is to say, go make passionate followers of Jesus Christ. We've talked about this before. You find Christian in the New Testament three times. You find disciple and his derivative in the New Testament over 300 times. There's something about this, the meaning and the word and the concept of disciple. When you say disciple, you're not just saying churchgoer. You're not just saying Christ pretender. You're not just saying attendee. You're saying a passionate, sold out follower to Jesus Christ. The reason why our evangelism in many regards isn't as successful as it should be is that we spend too much time trying to get people just to come to church, not making disciples, not convincing people that we ourselves are disciples, not convincing people that we are sold out followers of Jesus Christ. And what God desires are passionate disciples or followers of him. People who would say, I have a worldview. I'm going to empty myself of this worldview, and I'm going to fill myself with the view of Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And the reason we're losing people is because we're getting people in here and they're not disciples. They agree with a lot of things you say. They sing the songs. Everything is cool. But when you look deep down, there's not that passion that God desires of his disciples. Most scholars and experts will tell you that there has to be a more concerted effort to make disciples, not just increase the number of church attendees. It's not enough just to grow the numbers of the church. And if you go in a bookstore and you look in the evangelism section, that's all you see. How to double the size of your church, how to increase the numbers of your church, how to get more people in this program, how to get more people in this program. And I'm not saying that those books are bad, but a lot of times what these books are missing is the essence of the commission of Jesus Christ. Make disciples. It's not enough to just get them in the water. It's not enough just to baptize them. We have to pursue teaching a disciple the ways of Jesus. Accompanying this call to go and make disciples is Jesus' promise to be with you always, so there's no need to fear. You know, it's been made abundantly clear to me this week that I have no power. I would love to have power, a lot of power. I would love to be able to go to someone who has cancer and have the power to say, cancer be gone. I just don't have that power. I would love to have the power to hug my wife in the most passionate way and say, all the trouble be gone. I don't have that power. But this I do know. Jesus does have the power. Jesus does have the authority. And it's not for me to try to exercise power I do not have. But it is up to me to tap in to the authority and power of Jesus Christ. And even in the realm of evangelism, I wish I had the power to say the right words at the right time and do the right deed at the right time so that someone would come into Jesus. But you know what? I don't have that power. Jesus has the power. So he says, go and make disciples. But understand, it's really not you making disciples. It's me. Because I'm with you. Always. There's a new generation of churches and believers who think that all we have to do is dress up church, dress ourselves up and invite people in. Unfortunately, because there is so much doubt about the authenticity of Christians, because people have been hurt by Christian folk, there is a mistrust that is in many places that is simply beyond repair. We just can't sit here and tell people to come in here. Church, we have to go. Now, in the past, that may have meant door knocking. And for those of you who, anyone here ever been door knocking? Raise your hand if you've been door knocking. If you've gone door knocking and you continue to do door knocking, God bless you. Continue to do it. Be safe. Be safe. For some of you in the past, that meant going in people's home and showing them a film strip. Jill Miller, huh? Huh? Boo. Ring a bell? Huh? Boo. Listen, if that's you and you still want to do that, I would take a DVD. I'm just not sure how folks will react to boo. I just don't know. For some of you, that means going out and passing out tracts to people. If that's you, man, God bless you. Make sure the track is good, though. Check it out. Read it first. No matter what your method, it has always been our call and charge to go out and be Jesus. And in being Jesus, it may be more than a door knock. It might be a touch of compassion. What people may need is a hug. What people may need is a touch, helping them to understand that you feel what they feel. It may be more than telling people what you know or showing them what you know in a film strip. Many have said people don't care what you know until they know you care. People might not care what's in the track, but they will care to know if you represent authenticity. They will want to know if you're real. They want to know if you're practicing what you preach. Don't preach peace if you don't display peace. Don't preach joy if you're always angry. Don't preach love if you can't do for your neighbor what you're willing to do for yourself. People might not care what's in the track, but they'll care if you represent an authentic witness, not out here to get money or just another member for your audience. Go and share how the good news has made a difference in your life. And go. Go. I appreciate Perry tying in the Isaiah story. Here's a man who, in the presence of the holiness of God, begins to reflect on how sinful he was. But God touches him and cleanses him. When God asks the question, who am I going to send out to share this message of hope and restoration? Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful example. What a different way of thinking than God asking that same question in the 21st century. And who am I going to send out to the high school? Who am I going to send to corporate America? Who am I going to send to? Send Jay. Send Chuck. Send Paula. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Church, you've got to go. You've got to get outside these walls. You got to go. Now, we can speak for weeks and years about how that looks, what that means. What are you saying? Do you want me to get on a milk carton, you know, the crate and on the corner and preach Jesus? Man, if that's what God is calling you to do, do it. But go. What do you mean? You want me to go hang out downtown with the poor and just eat with them and sit with them? If God is calling you to do that, you do that. But go. Is God calling me to in my office, where I hear so much, and I know that it can be addressed by this message of Jesus and the kingdom, and is God calling me to go and have a cup of coffee and to expand that conversation to something bigger and beyond the regular junk that goes on in the office? Maybe that is what God is calling you to do. Go. Do it. You have nothing to be afraid of. You know how many people told Jesus, "I ain't trying to hear it, dude"? You know how many people told the apostles, I'm not talk to the hand. I guess it was in Hebrew though, you know. Blah, 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 blah. That was so bad. God is calling us to go proactive action, not sit here and wait for people to come in here. Most conversions, church, don't take place in here. Mm-mm. This is not the start of the conversion process for many people. The start of the conversion takes place out there. When God is active in someone's life, when God is active in Susie's life, and what she needs is someone to come into her life and to be a friend, to be a conversation, to direct her. And when those Susies out there, God is saying, "Man, who shall I send to Susie?" Part of our prayer has to be, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Maybe it's Johnny, or Tara, or Muhammad. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Church, God is calling us to go. And when we enact that commission in our lives, we will be on our way to becoming an evangelistic church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your many blessings that you have given us, that you continue to give us, that you desire to give us. Father, with these gifts, with these blessings, it is not our intent to just keep the gift closed, but to open the gift, to enjoy that gift, but then to go and share this gift with others. Father, the fear and apprehensions that we may have, Father, I pray that you would bless us right now with the largest sense of your peace and your presence. God, will you in some way remind us in an emphatic way that Jesus is with us to the very end. Father, will you bless us with a spirit like Isaiah, who was willing with his flaws to go and be a messenger of your truth, a messenger of your love, a messenger of your grace, a messenger of your hope, a messenger of your restoration. Father, may we not be content with building this church up to be a magnet, that we understand that our call is not to be a magnet in this building, but to go to attract people to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you desire prayers of the church, if you're not feeling well, physically, spiritually, want to beg you to share that with the body of Christ. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you want to make steps towards becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, we'll give you this opportunity. You can come forward if you like. If not, you want to have a conversation with somebody, me, one of the shepherds, a member, we'll make that happen. But understand this, it is our desire as leaders in the body of Christ to help people fall in love with Jesus Christ, to stay in love with Jesus Christ. And when your relationship is fractured or something's bothering you there, it's our intention to help you repair that, help invoke God's Spirit to repair that relationship. So if you fall in any of those categories, please come as we stand and sing this song.